Ouais. For some reason, it didn't act like it was recording, but it is. So, I have a question for you. If I were to ask you, nation was in first century Jerusalem at the time Paul writes this letter, or even the whole Middle East, what would you say the status is of a woman at that time period?
Low,
Yeah,
low. Oh.
pretty much low. You don't read a lot of women having particularly anything to do with worship, hardly, very limited. Then you see as Jesus comes on the scene and with Mary Magdalene, you see women starting to come into the picture more and more and more and more from a worship standpoint. You see it a lot in the writing of Acts, of women being more active into it. And then we come up on this scripture that we're going to look at today, starting with verse 18 in the third chapter of Colossians. On with this. And it's interesting, I found out that a lot of the older wedding vows had this scripture built into the wedding vow itself. I'm sure that's pretty much went by the wayside in today's society, right? Yeah. And my dad actually, in the book he had, the pastoral book that he had, little bitty book, just a little bit bigger than this one, and it had how to carry on a wedding ceremony in it, and it had the 40s. So as times went on, I'm sure. I can't remember the last wedding I heard that was traditional, but I don't in wedding vows in these days, this day and time. And a lot of people, I'll say, take offense to that terminology when you first read it verbatim. But we're going to look at it today and the Christian household. And as we go through this study and talking about Christ, and the name of the study is Christ above all, of course. And as we look at it and we look at what Paul's telling us, and we looked at the last four lessons about these things you should do as a Christian, right? So I mean, you could make a list, couldn't you? If you were to make a list of something you do now versus you did stuff on that list, right? I mean, if you don't, probably something's wrong, or So you would have this list. So as Paul goes through and he's writing the Colossians, now we come to tells people how you need to manage your life or your household, how you need to be in the world today as a Christian. And there's it actually and I want to it's a little bit to read, but I want to read the whole thing. And this comes from the King James Version, New King James Version. And I'll be interested if there's some. I'm going to read from King James. I'm going to read from starting at Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wife and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well. Children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants or slaves, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of inheritance for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bond servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Side of it for the females in the room, for every one rule, so to speak, that's mentioned here for the women, there's like three or four for the men. So the men's not getting cut out of this. They're getting a whole lot more stuff that's going
The
against it.
poignant thing about it is, if the husbands love their wives and be right by them, then they have no problem submitting to them.
Well, and I think, and well, look, submitting is not the way we think of submitting today. And it's not like you got a chain around somebody's neck and jerking them and dragging them around. That's not what this submitting means. But I'm gonna read you a real quick story. You always like stories, right? And she discovered a shelf of reused items. Among them was a figurine of a man and a woman, their heads lovingly tilted toward one another. On the bottom of the inscription said, "Happy 10th anniversary." It appeared to be in perfect condition, yet the tag on the figurine said, "Damaged." Said this explanation: "The wife is coming unglued." The tag could describe many modern marriages. Wives and husbands are coming unglued together, and the home life is in crisis in America. I think that's very accurate. The rate of people getting married in the U.S. is at its lowest point, 7. This guy, one guy wrote, and he said, 80 years ago, approximately 80% of the U.S. households were made up of a married couple. Now that number is under 50. Attitudes about marriage is 2006. Half of the U.S. adults said it was very important for couples having children to be legally married. That's 2006. 2020, that number dropped from 50% to less than 29. These results said the institution of marriage in America, this is a quote, appears to have become increasingly inconsequential for a growing number of young men and women, including couples, having their children together. It's not just the marriages. There has never been more loneliness, polarization, acrimony on every side. Look in any direction you want, personally, politically, globally, and the world is bathed in a bloodbath. One guy wrote, he says, frankly, I'd be discouraged if it wasn't for Colossians 3. I want you to as we read through this, and obviously there's some verbatim that we'll read through this, but the goal for this lesson is, I want to look how Paul is telling us we really need to behave. A whole bunch of fronts. We're going to look at how a husband and a wife need to behave, how your children need to behave, how you need to behave as parents, how you need to behave as if you're an employer or as an employee. Because if where you have somebody that is a purported Christian, but yet that person really won't work. Yeah, I mean, seriously, have you ever seen that? I have. You know, and you know, when you see that, it's very disheartening because people look at it then as a Christian, not as a person that won't work. You get that. So as we go through this, again, look at this as we look towards how your household or yourself needs to be a place. So for the sake of reading a little literary work here, as Paul talks about bondservants and slaves, my translation said bondservants. Anybody says slave? I'm sure. Yeah. So there's bondservant that went on in first century. I read one time that in the Roman world, there was over 10 million slaves at one time. That's a lot.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Like, yeah.
Including one of the
tradesmen. Yes, yes. And that's one thing that I was reading. That if you looked at people that were brick masons or builders, a lot of them were slaves. And a lot of them were indentured type slaves. So, you know, somebody owes somebody money, you know, well, the way you get it back, I mean, been doing good to put them in jail, so you become their slave. You work it off growing up with my dad. I think you tend to do that a lot. All right. So as we read that first part, wives submit to your husbands as do fitting with the Lord. And the translation on husband. So I don't know how yours talks about it, but and again, I think it talks about your husband, not men in particular. And I think that's the wording that Paul was using there. Paul began with the word to the wives. This is among the most disputed and controversial writer Paul's writing. He said, wives submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. So let me read this. Some research was included in the marriage ceremonies, as we talked about, but it was taken out. In Paul's day, the concept of submission was very negative, as it is today. So if you think of somebody as being submissive, that term would usually go along with somebody that's weak, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it just connotations, so to speak, about that. That's not really what's going on here. This guy wrote, he says, submission conveys a weakness. A person didn't submit because in doing so, they would convey to someone who was governing them or to authorities to submit was interpreted as weakness of character and implied humiliation. From a scriptural perspective, much of the resistance, confusion, and fear about this whole thing right here, a few things about submission and using the word submission. So if you, and I had never thought about this, but David Jeremiah did a whole show on this one time. In Colossians, the general population believe Ephesians was written first, that Paul used that letter to model the letter of Colossians about. It's modeled in the same way. And there's a lot of really close similarity on the instructions that he gives in Ephesians. We're going to talk about that here just in a few minutes. And in one point, he tells us to be filled. Empowerment of our lives will be threefold. He said, we'll speak to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We'll give thanks without ceasing to God. We'll submit to one another in fear of God, Ephesians 5:18. And he pulled out and says, notice the third evidence of being of God. He goes on to write, he says, you continue reading, you discover Paul applied that principle in relationships in Colossians. It's the same thing in Colossians he talked about in Ephesians, but he's talking about it in relationships for husband and wives and children and all that. We'll get to that in a bit. Michael Kruger wrote this. He said, the ultimate demonstration that submission to the Lord himself. Christ in his early ministry submitted himself to the Father, John 4 and 34 and 5:3. His submission was so complete, he was obedient to the point of death, even on the cross. Same words. Same guy. He said, here's the point. Submission is not a female virtue requirement. It's a Christian virtue requirement. When we as Christians, both male and female, deny ourselves and submit to others, Christ-like. He said, whenever we say, not as I will, but as you will, we're acting like Jesus. So what's the center of submission? He goes on to write, this Kruger guy goes on, the human or human institution is to the Lord himself. And James 4 says, he says, therefore submit to God. And he goes on, he says, you'll see in Ephesians, wife, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting to the Lord. So very, very close parallel there. So if you, you know, it's interesting if you look at a lot of the old hymns, you know, the Red Book hymns, and if you start looking at the words to those hymns versus the words of the hymns today, it's quite different, isn't it? I've never noticed that our Christian vocabulary has changed. He said, you know, we're still talking about Christ. We're still talking about, you know, about salvation. He said, but the words were used about. And he says the songs now sing of a more joyful tone versus the submissive type tones. And I thought that was pretty interesting. I'm going to look at a good idea. He goes on to end this. He says, the demands of Calvary hadn't changed, but our culture has. We've never been more self-assertive. Very true. Says we're not keen to submit to others because we've forgotten about the submission to Christ Jesus in all areas. And I think that has a lot to do with that. In my working career, you could see the earlier generations really didn't have that respect that I was taught for the management style. And I mean, when I first started with Unilever, and we, another big thing was always if you report to somebody, you have to respect them for their position, maybe not for their person. And I was taught that.
In the military,
I saw that degrade over the last few years that I was in public work. And you know, if you look at that from a Christian standpoint, I think society has done that also. We kind of degraded away from that submission standpoint and more like, you know, I got this. Don't, you know, I got this. Let me take care of this. And when we do that, we just mess up just horribly, right? So it's just, I thought that was a really good thing. Christian women's of the 20th century. She was often asked about this passage, and she quoted Oswald Chambers, who said, submission means surrender to another. But in evangelical sense, it means that I conduct as a child of my Father in heaven. You know, and we, you know, when we talked about, we did a study in here a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, on prayer, and we talked about prayer, and I said, here has asked God, help me be a better father, help me be a husband, help me be a better brother, a better sister. We asked that. We prayed for that. And I said, you know, one of the things that I learned is that if you get closer and closer and closer to God, those other things comes in the same way. And if you're submissive to God's plan, and that doesn't mean you're being led around by a choke hold, but you're submissive to God, then all this other stuff kind of lines back up. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Let's look first at the Son of God, perfect in his submission to the Father. His whole life on earth demonstrated an unconditional surrender to the glorious will. Do we want to follow him in this way? She said, too many people look for loopholes in it. But anybody ever listen to K-Love, radio station K-Love? I pick up just about everywhere. I got used to listen to it traveling because they own so many stations around the U.S. But one of the guys on there was talking, and he said, here is where I fail at. He said, when I look at God's salvation plan, that plan, thank you for being the Lord over my life and my salvation, and said, I trust God 100% with that, and that's, you know, I put that in his hands. But when it comes to the day-to-day activities in my life, that myself. And I think we're probably all guilty of that, right? So, and he went on to talk about, he says, you know, and he talked about submission. He says, you have to submit to in an eternity fashion, but after you say that day-to-day living, that's the part I think we have a hard time with. I know I think the majority of us would. We all want to fix it ourselves. You know, well, submission. Said, we always look at the context of submission. He says, you know, wives submit to your own husbands. It does not say wives submit, be submissive. Paul made it clear to the Galatians that when it comes to our relationship with Christ, we all stand on the same level. So, and this is what, this comes back to this question that I asked you at the beginning about where did women stand? You know, what was the woman's status? And it was low, right? I mean, I don't know if it was as bad as it is today in the Muslim countries, but you know, in the Jewish, yeah. But listen to what Galatians says: for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So Paul made a big point about that: is that, you know, or just because you're a man or woman does not change you. In Christ Jesus, we're all one in Christ Jesus. So, you know, it doesn't say, you know, oh, the woman's on the lower scales. Eddie Wadsworth was writing a book on marriage. He says, marriage can be difficult. The part you're not ready for is the fact that marriage is by far the most daunting thing you'll ever, dying to yourself, there will be. Nobody warns you that the feelings will come and go, and nobody tells you that all of that is normal. That was pretty good. One of the secrets of marriage, he goes on to say, is that is the moment, she said, He said, we had one couple that says, we walked together and kneeled at the communion rail, holding our hands like beggars. We began to submit to the sanctifying, dare I say, crucifying work of Christ in our hearts. You know, I thought it was interesting. This guy, he goes on to do a whole lot more said portion of marriage. And we don't think about the word submissive, but when you're taking care of a sick spouse or you're coming their life and you do something not for you, but for them, isn't that a submissive movement?
That's Christ-like, that's my thing.
I don't know what he just So now we're going to leave the wives alone for a minute. We're going to get on the guys here. All right. Since wives were asked to submit to the husbands, we might expect the husbands to be. Apostle Paul doesn't write that. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Don't need any comments from the peanut gallery here. So let's go on. All right. Paul begins instructions to husbands by urging them not to act harshly towards their wives. He forbids bitter and sharp behavior. So it's interesting here as the word, the Greek word that Paul used here in this word, it says love your wives, is agape, that you would have with Christ, or the love that Christ has for you is the same love that Paul has here to have towards wives. And it's not the word amoris or amorous, but it's agape. Interesting, right? It's interesting also, one of the guys wrote, and he says this word is agape, a sacrificial, self-giving love whose model is Christ himself, right? Husbands are to love their wives unconditionally. He says, we've already been introduced to the passage in Ephesians. I read that a while ago, and it's Ephesians 5, too. So I'll ask the guys in the room, can you grasp onto that statement? Let me read it again. Definitely can fail it. I promise you that, right? Yeah. All right, so let me read it. This is Ephesians 5:25. Husband, love, agape, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church.
Yes.
Well, Christ put up with a lot. He tried. He still was loving
the
church. He put up a lot of my stuff, so.
Yeah. I'll admit to that. One of the guys, I was, again, you know, that talks about this, and I was trying to find something to use in it. So I'm going to use this now. So y'all don't shoot me for this when I say this, as or like this. And he says, what I want to see written on a poster, he says, is I want to say, women, love your husbands as a dog would. So I thought about that a minute. Now, then I read on. He says, yeah, he says, you can take your dog. You can not feed them for a day or two. You can beat them. You can leave them outside. So love your husbands like a dog. Right? I know. That is true.
Most of the time.
So as I mentioned, it's loving your wife as Jesus loved the church is a lot to grasp if you really stop and meditate on that. And you think about all the way to the cross, that's the love that he had for the church, and the church being the people, right? Not the building. So can you grasp onto that?
No.
That's pretty deep. I mean that really is. I mean that says a lot. It's a big one. He says, one guy wrote, he says, into the earth, lived in poverty, ultimately gave up his life for his church. He suffered as no one has ever suffered, and he's loved as no one ever loved. And he said, he asked the question, is that the way I'm supposed to love my wife? And the answer to that's yes. And they said, oh, and by the way, so he had this. He said, and the church, no illusion that when he sought us in love, did he know that after he died on the cross for us, we would fail him over and over and over again. Yes, he knew that. There was nothing in us that caused him to love us. He didn't love us on the basis of our performance. He loved us with a never-ending sacrifice together. Can be challenging, right? Another guy wrote this. He says, I don't know about you, but during the pandemic, I heard of a number of heart-wrenching stories of California. He said, they've been married for decades. They went to local church, their ministry, fostering parents. Larry developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma while Sue was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. The two took care of each other as best they could, loving each other. Larry followed her to heaven. And he says, one of their adopted grandchildren says he fought so hard to hold on for so long. He was in a lot of pain. He said, I felt once he knew that Granny was okay, then she wasn't suffering. He finally let go. And I think you see that a lot in today. You know, and they were, I was looking along when I was doing this research. And one guy told a story. And he said there was an elderly couple and said they had like 20 grandkids, you know, like five kids, 20 grandkids or something. And he said they just bickered all the time. So, you know, every time there's weight. So the grandkids decided one year that they were going to buy them a session with a psychiatrist to see if they can help, a counselor to see if they can help out this bickering. So they go up and said, they got his residency, and said, he goes and sits down. He said, this is going to be tough. And he was listening to them. So they were just back and forth, back and forth. And so they walked in, they sat down, and said the wife looked up at her husband and said, she started him. So I can't believe you wore those clothes here today. Said he was back and forth. He said, well, I thought this is going to be tough. So I got to figure out how to get these people back in the love out of the chair. And he just reached up and just panned a real big kiss on her. So set her back in the chair, walked around. He says, now, sir, he says, this is required for her at least 3 times a day, 3 days a week. He said, well, I can have her here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So sometimes we don't get the submissive side of it, all right? And on what we need to love. Husbands are to love their wives purposefully. Last thing, then we'll finish up next week. There's a God-ordained purpose to surround the air at the whim of the winds. It's a beam of sunshine that aims light and heat. Going back to Ephesians 5 again, Paul said that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the glorious church, not having spots or wrinkles or any such thing, that should be holy and without blemish. So I'll leave us to there, and we'll come back, and we're going to look at, next week when we come back, we're going to look at what Paul starts talking about, how we need to act in our business life. That's an interesting section.
Thanks, Brother.